Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, that king of kings, good God almighty, damn, I'm good. I am the Hot Rod. On the phone line, I have a man that will play the Black Santa Claus in a couple of weeks, but he does have a big belly than me, and doesn't drink a lot, and always like to go around saying, ho, 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 his name is...
Good grief. Sean Black in the building once again. Happy holidays or whatever you want to call it this time of year.
Remember, don't offend the people out there. Don't say Merry Christmas. Don't say Happy Hanukkah. Don't say Happy Kwanzaa.
Certain people, there's a war on Christmas and a war on Hanukkah and a war on Kwanzaa and not enough people saying Merry Christmas. So
I know we talk about this all the time. I don't know what to say anymore. It is what it is, you know. I just say Happy Holidays just to avoid any mess. I'm not afraid to say Merry Christmas, but to the people I don't know, or like coworkers or whatever, Happy Holidays, whatever.
Of course.
And coming for someone like me that don't celebrate holidays really, like I care. But the number to call is 347-989-8402. Number once again is 347-989-8402. This is Sean Black for the last time of the year of 2019. Are you moved to piss people off?
I think so. But let's do it from a jolly point of view.
Okay. Not coming for me, that's for sure. But this will be our last show for 2019. Next few weeks, Sean and I will be too busy, you know, playing in Santa Claus and delivering gifts around the world.
Of course.
But at the same time, Sean Black will be watching the television, not watching the impeachment hearing and saying, we're going to get him. We're going to get him. We're going to get Donald Trump. We got him this time. But Sean Black has been watching.
I have better things to do.
But before we go to our topic, quickly, I think I did not ask you this question last week. This impeachment hearing, was I paying no mind because I'm the hot rod, I don't care.
I understand.
In the impeachment hearings, with everything that's happening, do you think this is a waste of time or another witch hunt, or you feel something is going to happen? You don't know exactly sure. You're not too sure what, but something's going to happen.
Well, the impeachment hearings is something that has to happen based on Congress and the House's their duty in case the President of the United States is overstepping their boundaries of power. And from all of the intents and purposes, and I'm not going to go into why and everything else, but just to answer your question, based on that, they have a constitutional duty. If the president has overstepped his boundaries and his realm of power, he has to be checked. That's why they have three branches of government that have checks and balances on each other to make sure one doesn't gain more power over the other. And this is one of those things that has to be done. Now, whether you believe that this is a hoax, a witch hunt, or whatever the operative words are, there seem to be more and more of the news that have come out based on things that have happened from the last few days and the weeks, et cetera, that something probably will be done. Now, do I actually think that the president will be impeached? I think the president will be impeached, but I don't think he'll be voted out because, remember, although he can be impeached, it takes Congress to actually go ahead and vote him out. And since Congress is basically headed up by Republicans, and they are in lockstep trying to, within party lines, to stay within, nothing is going to happen afterwards. So this is where we are from there. We'll probably know something, probably, I think, tomorrow. And then,
yes.
you got to hear more and more news over the next few weeks going forward.
And you know what? I semi agree with you. I believe something is going to happen, but not like to the end results that Trump will be impeached, will be voted out of office. But at the same time, it's like, out of all the problems in the world, we're focusing, the Democrats is still focusing on, to me, they're still sound losers for the last 3 years. You know, you try so hard to go into Trump instead of try to run the country overall. Instead of focusing on a major candidate to go against Trump, they're doing like Sean did it. No, it's Outlaw's fault. It was Kendall's fault. It was Lady T's fault. Oh, no. It's like, come on, really? And now you have Bloomberg to the race. Now all of a sudden Biden was the top lead. Now he's going down. It's a circus. So how can, if the Democrats don't have their act together, how can they step up in 2020 and go against Trump?
Especially in the eyes of lots of Republicans, this entire impeachment process has been politicized and made very, very political. And in the eyes of those that don't think the president has done anything wrong, they're going to look at the process as well. Instead of looking at the evidence that's there, a lot of the messages attack the process. And if that doesn't work and you still have the president in office, those that will vote are going to look at it as if they're trying to undo the 2016 election. That's the main argument that I've heard from a lot of Republicans that support the president. Instead of looking at what is right in front of everybody as far as the substantive substance and the evidence that's involved that's there, they're not going to look at that. They're going to look at, on party lines, as everybody is expecting, the Democrats are going to defend their Democratic view. Republicans are going to defend their point of view. And instead, what's going to be lost in all of this is that, as we've seen, the president basically tried to hold a foreign country, holding aid for them to get dirt on a political rival. And that's going to all be lost in all of this, because it's going to go back to, you know how you see in boxing, okay, you come clean, you clean break, go to a neutral corner. And they're going to stay in their neutral corners and nothing's going to happen.
Yes. This is bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, this is Sean's country. That's it. But I'm sorry. We have a quarter already on the year. 314, you're on the air.
Well, I can't wait till November 2020 so I can vote again.
Here we go. Happy New Year.
But I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Now, we say that blacks have a difficult time getting mortgages for home. I mean, generally, yes. And another reason why I like Trump, because of his stance on illegal and undocumented people. But did you know that undocumented and illegal are getting home mortgages by utilizing their I-10, which is the individual tax identification number? We're talking about billions of dollars of home mortgage. Once you sign the paper, close and get that promissory note and documentation show that you now own that house, now you go register to vote. Then you can get driver's license. Now here's the point. They get the I-10 number because they're not citizens and they can't get a Social Security number. But the I-10 number is what the IRS use in order to keep track of their wages and stuff. But they aren't supposed to be working. So where is the outcry on that?
Outcry? What was the outcry about that? One, that immigrant kid that was detained that died over the flu with the flu. What was the outcry with that? That was under the Trump watch people, right? That's probably the
was
kid
what?
That was separated from the family.
Oh, you talk about separate. Oh, I got something for that too. You talk about separating the families on the borders, which people are illegal, don't have no business being in the country anyway. And when an adult and a child show up at the border, you don't know if they are related. But get this. What happens in family court?
Yeah,
what happens with child? Hold on. What happens in child protective services? You got children being snatched away from mothers, fathers are separated from them. Is that not separation of American citizens?
Not that it's not happening at the border.
It ain't have to be happening in the courtrooms all over the country.
True, but we're not talking about that. We know, we all know the justice system screwed up already. We're talking about the border. We're talking about the people, the Mexicans that try to come to this country as being detained
right
now.
They're illegal, though, right?
They're illegal, but does that give us the right to treat them like animals?
They don't have no civil rights. They're not citizens.
So that, but it doesn't matter. It's human rights. Human rights is more important than civil rights.
No, I have to beg a difference with you because this country's law or guidance is the United States Constitution. United States of America has never signed on to a human rights commission that's pushed out there by the United Nations. But anyway, I just want you to think about that I-10. We talk about millions. Hey, it might have been the difference in the popular vote. I'm sure they voted.
Yeah, but it was a popular number. Trump got the right stage. That's why he's president. We're not talking about the popular vote doesn't count anymore. Right?
Well, that's what people talk about. They're talking about doing away with the Electoral College. They don't think that North Dakota deserves two senators. They think that a state like California, Florida, and New York should call the elections because of their population. But anyway, I'm not here to argue. I just want you to think about that I-10. You're talking about millions of illegals are getting home mortgages. Google I-T-I-N.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And continue listening. Happy holidays.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. Excuse me. So, back, Sean.
Yeah, you sound like you have a cold. Are you catching a cold?
Well, coming from my Trump supporter friends, I can't recall a cold from them. But on to the UPS driver.
Yeah.
I know around the holidays, a lot of craziness happens. Desperate times call for desperate measures. People stress themselves out to the limit, buying stuff, try to please their families and friends and coworkers. But this incident with UPS driver, I have a lot of questions about that. But what happened quickly with the UPS driver?
Well, what happened was there was some sort of a robbery that happened in Coral Gables, Florida. It was a jewelry store. Two cousins decided to rob a jewelry store. And then they hijacked a UPS truck with a truck driver that was on duty named Frank Ordonez. And what ended up happening was the police got involved. There was a shooting. And the UPS driver was killed. And there was a lot of question as to what the heck were the police doing in this shootout that was going on, and could a lot of things could they have been done differently? And you don't hear about these kinds of things that often, but this is where you want to know what is the procedure in something like this, where a UPS truck driver gets his truck hijacked with him in it. And because of the shooting back and forth, innocent people were in the midst of all of this.
And that's the thing. I have a lot of questions about that because I never heard of a UPS truck being hijacked. I heard packages being stolen, which is very popular around this time of year because I'm not going to lie to you, my package was quote-unquote stolen, either from the UPS guys or from outsiders. So I know there's scams and everything that happened, but to hijack a truck especially if that was not his his route, or he was his day off or something. I smell a fish in this. You know, something's not right about this story. I think it is something on that truck for those guys to enter. You know what I mean? Like, you hijack that truck, a UPS truck, you go get mail, you go get Amazon, but we know Amazon guaranteed to be on that truck. We don't know what you want to get. So my thing is, why are you going to hijack a UPS truck out of nowhere?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. We know that, especially this time of year, UPS trucks are going to have a cavalcade of goods that people are getting delivered back and forth, whether it's business packages, whether it's gifts for other people for shopping for the holidays, toys, whatever merchandise is on the truck. And we also know, as we've heard in the past, of UPS trucks having other things that shouldn't be on the truck. So we know that these kinds of things can happen. Now, here's where the questionable part is. We know, as we've talked about before, police officers having certain things happen in certain situations when it comes to taking out a criminal or trying to stop a robbery or trying to stop some sort of crime. We know this. But to have an open shootout at an intersection of a busy area, because I looked at the news and saw that this was a kind of a bustling, busy intersection where the businesses around in the area. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe an innocent woman was caught in the crossfire of shooting as well.
Yes.
So these are the kinds of things that have to be looked at. Was protocol followed? Now, at the same time, I also know, as a police officer going in, from all that we've seen and from people that have called up our show, people that know people in the know, it's not, obviously, it is not the easiest job in the world, especially going on the standpoint. This is broad daylight. There are people involved as far as around in the intersection and businesses, people frequenting walking around in the street. But we're also dealing with two jewelry robbers that are armed and dangerous, and the police are involved now. This also was taking place live on camera for, I believe, the news captured this happening. And I also remember, and the police were asking for anybody that might have been in the area that probably took video and pictures of the incident as it happened on cell phone camera, et cetera, to bring that into the police if they can to help them out. But the problem is, was the protocol followed? And did this have to happen to this particular person? And what can be done to make sure something like this doesn't happen again? Because we've seen these UPS trucks. They're big structures. You'd think that they would be either bulletproof or have some sort of extra protection. And if you can have somebody driving a Brinks truck and that has money and potentially gold or jewelry, whatever is on a Brinks truck, and that thing is loaded and fully protected, why can't the same be done for UPS? That's something that has to be looked at as well.
And normally, doesn't UPS driver there, because of the season of heavy, they have two or more people on that truck?
Yes. There's usually at least two people on a UPS truck, although I have seen UPS truck drivers, maybe it's just one person there, and they have their packages that they take on and off the truck. But usually there's usually at least two people involved with the truck. But in a lot of instances, I have seen one driver, and that's it.
Well, I smell something fishy with this story. That's why I like to bring this up. And rest in peace to the father, to Jose. You know, father, two girls is around this time is a devastation.
Yes.
Entirely. But talk about devastation. I'm an Uber user. I take Uber all the time because I can't drive. And I'm a true New Yorker. I don't drive. So I use Uber. I remember a few weeks ago we talked about how human traffic is big in the United States. And Uber was part of it, a part of a big thing that happened in Atlanta. Now, reports that came out last week, in 2018, over 3,000 sexual assaults slash rapes happened on Uber drivers, Uber in Uber cars, whether it was a passenger that got raped or vice versa. Now I'm Sean Black. I know you don't take anything, you just walk to everywhere. Uber said that this made up for 3% of the million of the thousands of drivers, millions of rides that happen almost every day. Bottom line is, what do you think is this, what do you think of the, about this report? Do you think this is an overreaction, or Uber is trying to sweep underneath the bus, or is under their radar?
Well, let's also look at the fact that Uber is a publicly traded company. So they have an IPO on the stock market. So they have shareholders that are looking into this to find out what the heck is going on. Now, regardless of what the percentage is, we know that these rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft and Vaya, I think is the name of it, bunch of others that are doing this, they have had a lot of problems vetting drivers over the years. Now, Uber's been around for, what, about 6 or so years? Something like that, maybe a little longer.
Well, making billions of dollars, though. Making millions already.
Yes. And they released this report that the Hot Rod was alluding to that is supposed to be like a safety report to show them what's going on and the percentage that's there, which is a small percentage, but let's really be honest. Between 2017 and 2018, on Uber alone, they've had 19 murders. 8 were riders, 7 were drivers, 4 more as far as were bystanders, as far as car accidents, people getting hit by cars, unfortunately. They've had 58 crash deaths in 2018, because this is where a lot of this had happened. 3,045 sexual assaults, and as you alluded to also, rapes. This is something that happens way too often. The fact that you can quantify that amount, just think about that. 3,000, over 3,000 sexual assaults. That is absolutely insane. And although when you look at the fact that in a given year, they have at least over 1 billion riders at any one time over the year get into an Uber and go somewhere. The fact that that's a small, minute amount doesn't take away the fact that this should not be happening. If we were to talk about this happening on the MTA in the New York City area where you get on a bus, and we know there's 8 to 9 million people living in New York City, how many of those people get on the MTA buses or trains? If you were to go ahead and tell me that on an MTA bus or on a train that over 3,000 people out of maybe 1 billion rides, etc., were getting molested, assaulted, or raped, or is somebody going to sit there and tell me that, oh, that's just such a small percentage? Or would there be outrage and an outcry going on throughout the entire city?
Outcry, outrage, blah, yada, 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 yada. But at the same time, are these reports true? Has Uber stepped up the guidelines? Is you think with technology today, the point of taking an Uber is convenience. That's why I take Uber. Instead of calling for a cab or hailing for a cab, everything's on your phone. So you think everything's trackable, right? So Uber should be easier to take. But then,
you would think.
You would think, and that's why I took Uber for a long time. Until now, it's scary to take Uber. Between human trafficking, are you going to say the car deaths, rape, sexual assaults? I'm like, wait a minute. As people have looked at mine, and you have people on social media giving tips of how to take an Uber. Think about that. Make sure the person matches the profile picture is the same as the person that you see in the car. Because one of the problems of human trafficking with Ubers, let's say Sean Black is an Uber driver. Oh, Sean, can I borrow your car for a minute? Sure, no problem. I could propose, I could pretend I'm Sean Black, pick up some people, especially a lady, and take her to the destination, and she'd be kidnapped right there. And boom, no trace. I cancel the ride, and boom. What happened to the
Or
lady?
Even
no
here's something
knows.
Else to throw in there, just to belie that point that you just made. There was just a video that I just saw yesterday that you put me onto of a passenger in the back of an Uber waving a gun
at
the driver. And it was recorded and put on, I think it was put on social media. So these are the kinds of things that you have to worry about. If you're a cab driver and people wonder from years and years and years that reputation of what goes on with taxi drivers and how they have to deal with passengers, et cetera. And we've heard about taxi drivers getting attacked by passengers and getting robbed and getting shot at and killed, et cetera, et cetera. But as you just stated, Uber is supposed to be a much safer way to make money as a driver because of the app, because of the cameras, because of the accountability and the fact that it's backed with money coming from shareholders as a publicly traded IPO. And that's one of those things you would think would be taken care of. But in the long run, as we all know, these jobs get more and more difficult as they become more and more competitive. And when you're dealing with regular human beings, you don't know what person may or may not snap. We don't know what type of person you're going to have as a passenger. We don't know if that next person you pick up is the last person you will ever see.
But one thing I know for sure is this person will ever become a Uber driver. And I see her on my profile, I'll be dead if I take a cab with her because I know she'll kidnap me 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you big red.
Yes, yes, yes. Kidnapping is my specialty.
Wow.
Oh,
boy, I tell you, that's something that you don't want to put under your stocking if you're going to get kidnapped.
I know.
How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Oh, man.
We talk about Uber, the sexual assault, human trafficking. Uh-huh. Like, before, Uber was, like, the safest thing to take. Really, it was more convenient than taking a cab in New York City. Now, it seems like you can't even trust Uber, you know. And Sean Black, a big man will vouch for me. Sadly, I post something on social media that I'm in an Uber, and I'm watching this guy. And, you know, everybody's laughing and cracking up jokes. But they're like, this is when it becomes that you have to let the public know that you're in an Uber just in case something happens to you.
Right, exactly. It's just, you know, it's sad. And I was like, I don't understand, you know. It's like this is something like a trend. I don't know. For some reason, it seems like when things happen, it's like it's a trend type of thing. Like, I mean, as I said before, like, this is not nothing new. It's just that it's more like it's shining a light on it because I guess more people are knowing about it. But this has been happening for years. So it's like if it's been happening for so long, like, what are we going to do about it? Like, what is going to be done about it? Like, something should have been done about it.
Oh, easy. We just talk about it, forget about it, and bring it up again later on.
Right, but I'm not talking about just now. I'm talking about, like, when this was happening, like, years ago. This thing happened. This is not something that's new. It's like, why hasn't nothing been done since it started,
Asia,
I guess, or when people started, yeah, or people started noticing it or whatever.
Because, as Bobby will always say, our priorities are not straight and we're messed up. You know, we will focus more on celebrity relationships than these type of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize one of the reasons why there's a lot of sexual assaults. I'm sorry, I don't want to use the word a lot. Well, fortunately, events that happen. Like, I'm thinking New York wise, a lot of females, a lot of people, they go out, they have a few drinks. You know, a lady who's probably drunk probably thinks the safe way to go home is in the Uber compared to taking the train, right?
Right, absolutely.
Oh, Uber driver pick up a nice young lady. Oh, you could tell she's intoxicated. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do or for the guy has to do it, but is also like an invite in a perverted mind. Oh, she's intoxicated. Let me take advantage
right.
of her. And I think some of the
right,
times
right, right.
that's, you know, the lady's passed out in the car or she's she don't know what's happening. Unfortunately, these things happen. And that's why we try to inform people that there's nothing wrong going out and having a good time. Just that
right,
just
but what,
to be aware.
Right, but think about years ago where it wasn't any Uber or Lyft and you just had the regular cabs that were, like I said, were doing, you know, the same thing was getting done.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was some type of sexual assaults and stuff like that happening, you know, with cab drivers that, you know, pick women up off the street or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but it was not recorded. I think the reason why we're talking about it, it's not on social media. We don't need to talk about it.
Right, yeah, I guess that's what it was. Yeah, because it wasn't on social media. Then.
But back then, it was just a word of mouth, but it spread this fast, you know. I would tell you, I would tell Sean Black, I would tell Brother B, K-Dog, and that's it, you know. But once I posted,
right.
20 million people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the craziest part about everything.
And, like, once again, how many times we say this on both programs, how social media is like a news feed. You go on to social media to see what's happening. Oh, this person found
right.
Oh, Sean Black has steak for dinner. Big Greg's going on a date. Everyone needs to know what's happening around the world.
Right.
And it's crazy. Oh my God, Big Greg went on a date. How nice. Like, really? And then, do we really care?
Exactly. Exactly, absolutely. But they should care because, you know what, that means I'm off the market. It should care.
I have no words for that one.
I can't think of that one. That's our Brother B part, okay? I'm not talking about that part.
Oh, man.
Talk about from Uber drivers. I want to talk about this a-hole of a guy named John Zimmerman.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
When you think he cannot get any lower. He go up and say, "Hold my beer," and find another way to go even lower his standards.
Right.
In fact, what
yes.
does George Zimmerman did this time?
George Zimmerman is basically like the boogeyman now, apparently. He, along with his lawyer, and a publisher of a book are suing the Trayvon Martin family for $100 million. And the reason why they're suing is because Zimmerman feels that he has been slandered based on things that have happened. He's had his feelings hurt. Essentially, the lawyer that's bringing up this lawsuit. His name, and then I'm going to bring it up, the reason why, you'll see why. His name is Larry Klayman, and he is one of these high-profile prosecuting lawyers that is into conspiracy theories. And the reason why that is because he did or knows about a documentary that was called The Trayvon Hoax. And this is supposed to actually bespeak about this hoax that the Trayvon Martin evidence was made up to make Zimmerman look bad, to make him look like he's in the wrong, et cetera, et cetera. So Zimmerman is saying from his camp that this whole entire thing has besmirched him, have made him look bad in the media. He's being slandered. So he's going to dig lower and lower and lower by actually suing the family of Trayvon Martin. Mind you, this is the same 17-year-old boy that he murdered over the idea of him being some sort of evil kid in the neighborhood when all he had was Skittles and Arizona iced tea on him and basically killed him.
And remember, he tried to sell the gun that killed him on eBay or something. Like
exactly.
That.
Yeah, right.
And then to now say we are, what, 6 years later, 8 years later. It's crazy how many years has gone by already that the 17-year-old child was killed. But now you're going to basically urinate on his grave and spit in his family's face for basically attention grabbing, and he's let's really be honest, his life has fallen apart since this, and I obviously don't feel any sympathy for this guy.
No,
that have tried to actually kill Zimmerman. You remember, he was shot at over, I believe it was a road rage incident or some argument that happened.
And that was only one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's only one time. But it only takes one time to do something. But the whole point being is that Zimmerman is not liked anywhere in this country that we know of. And the fact remains that he was willing to go ahead and take the stars that are still healing off of the parents of a child who was murdered and taken away from his family and this world too soon, and basically just rip those sores off and just pour acid all over them. It's unconscionable to think that this guy is still walking around and is able to victimize this family again.
Right, absolutely. Big Red, anything you'd like to add on to that? I have no words.
Yeah, sir. I have a few, but I can't say them on here the way I want to. But yeah, he's just a disgusting human being. It's just like he has no regards. He just cares about himself, and I don't even think he cares about himself that much. But you know what? You know, I'm a firm believer in the universe taking care of people. And that's what I feel that, you know, slowly but surely he's being taken care of. We may not ever see or maybe not hear or whatever, but, you know, he's going to be taken care of because there's no – I don't understand what kind of human or supposedly human you are to even phantom of even suing the family of a child that you killed. It's not like that. He didn't do anything to you. You thought, like, I don't know, for some reason, in his sick mind, he thinks that he's right. And I don't understand how you think that you're right.
You know what?
I don't understand how you think
you
were slandered.
I want you to think about this. Listen to this. This is what the suit is over. It's alleging defamation, abuse of civil process, and conspiracy. And the court papers are also saying that it was filed in Polk County, because Zimmerman lives there, it's more convenient for him. And it states that all of the defendants, quote, have worked in concert to deprive Zimmerman of his constitutional and other legal rights.
I read that.
Problem is depression. They're depressed. You say that's part of the problem?
That he's depressed?
I think part of the problem is the fact that George Zimmerman is an entitled, I'm pretty sure, racist on some level, that felt the need because of his insecurities towards this kid. And whatever power that he felt he wielded being a neighborhood watch, whatever he claimed that he was, to get away with what he got away with because he could. And the fact remains that because the rest of this country and the rest of this world does not see what he did as something that is noble, and his life has fallen apart because of it, he's looked at as a pariah. He's looked at as somebody that no one wants to be around. He's lost jobs. He can't get jobs because of his reputation. He's gotten divorced because his wife doesn't – from what I remember reading up on, his wife divorced him because he was putting his hands on her. So he's a despicable human being to begin with. Now you couple all of that with this to try to stay relevant in whatever public eye he feels he needs to stay relevant in, and then you compound the fact that he wants to try to make money off of this, that shows you what kind of incorrigible human being this person really is. And that's about the strongest thing that I can say without trying to, you know, curse all over the airwaves, which I try not to do.
And before I head over to K-Dog, you were trying to sue for $100 million? Like, does Fannie have $100 million in their wallet right now? I'm like, really? Let me see. I kill your son, give me money. That's the bottom line, right?
Right. Yep, exactly.
That's the bottom line. I kill your son, now pay me for making me depressed. Not you. Not like I took a life. Not like I took your son away. Because I took your son away, I'm depressed. I can't get a job. Now pay me.
Yeah. I think we all agree. I think we'll all agree that this case has no chance of getting anywhere near a court.
No.
But it's
I
the fact that,
he has the
temerity to actually draw this up is what's really irking everyone else.
No, this is right. Florida. We all know the system is very screwed up in Florida. Anything can happen. I'm not saying he will win the case 100%, but don't be surprised. There's a jackass, a a-hole of a judge. So the aim of a lawyer and the system itself go on favors on Zimmerman. That's what I'm saying. Well, this is Florida. Okay, Dora, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up?
When it comes to murderous beasts like George Zimmerman, I mean, what is the purpose of him suing? I mean, you murdered an unarmed, innocent 17-year-old just walking through your neighborhood after the police told you not to follow him. You went ahead and followed him anyway. You struggled with him. You pulled out your gun. You murdered him. And then you get off. How much pain is the family going through and still going through now, knowing that you're walking around a free man, thinking that, hey, I'm Mr. Untouchable. Nobody's going to mess with me. I could do whatever I want. How many times did we hear about George Zimmerman being in the news, getting arrested for what? How many times was he in the news? And now he has the right to be. Many times. Right. Run-ins with the law. That proves to show what kind of a monster this killer is. Mm-hmm. And now you want to sue the family? Are you out of your mind or something? I mean, you're looking for attention? Oh, trust me, we're going to hear about
him
again.
That's exactly what it is.
We're going to hear about him again. Trust me. If someone shot him once, oh, trust me, next time someone's going to get him. And hey, it's going to happen.
That would be Kato. Kato be the one to get Zimmerman. Watch.
Listen, all I know is this. When you commit something like that, murder, oh, it definitely comes back to you.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely my motto.
Well, I have two more topics. This is mostly for Big Red, but I'm like shocked to answer this. There was a recent study of couples of breadwinners where the women make more money than the male in a relationship. It shows that 67% of males are depressed or stressed out that their woman is making more money than them. Sean, before I go to Big Red, why do you think that most men are depressed or they don't like when the woman is making more money than them?
It goes to how society has been reared from the beginning of when society was created, is the fact that in the eyes of a lot of men from the genesis of it, men were always the breadwinners. Men were always quote-unquote superior. Men did all of the hard work while the women stayed home. They cooked the food. They nurtured the children. They taught, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when you have this mindset bred into people's minds from then on, and you realize that that way of thinking is antiquated, it doesn't make any sense. Especially in today's day and age, where we know women are doing much more so and finally starting to get the recognition that they deserve. It's the only thing that's missing now is the pay grade has not worked commensurate with what they should be getting. Outside of that, when you hear the pressures that men have of providing for a family, providing for their children, et cetera, and then they realize that the person that they're with may be making more money than them, that is probably where all of the consternation is coming from. When you have that mindset that as a male, I don't feel right because I'm not providing for my family. It was what my father did and my grandfather and my great-grandfather and mm-hmm. all of the things you see on TV and in the movies and talk shows and media and music tell you. As a male, if you don't do and provide for the family, you're a failure. What kind of man doesn't have enough money to do such and such and such, financially, et cetera? There are a lot of women out there that would, that the shoe is on the other foot and they are the breadwinner. That's going to be a cause of great argument and great dismay to a lot of men.
True, and more ways than one. So, K-Dog, what do you think about why most men are depressed about breadwinners?
Well, simple, the male ego. The male ego done gone out the window. Because it's like, oh my goodness, she's making more money than me, then what am I? Some men feel like they're less of a man because you know what it is? Especially like Sean said about society. First thing they're going to say is this, is that, wow, wait a minute. So your woman's taking care of this, your woman's taking care of that. What are you doing? Oh my goodness. But yet, at the same token, let me just say this. There are men out there. There are men, I'm not saying a lot, but there are men out there who will say like this, well, she's making more money than me. Okay, I could still bring home the, I could still, you know, take care of the home. But at the same time, you know what? Let's sit down together and let's compromise. There are some men that will do that, or some men would rather stay at home and let the woman work. There, one time I did see that on the news where a man says, well, I'd rather be a stay-at-home dad and let her work. And I'm like, wow, that's something else. But you know how society rules it out. No, but society will rule it differently. Society still kind of has that taboo, like, huh, how could a woman make more money than a man? It happens.
Big red.
It does happen.
Yes.
The floor is yours. Trust me, Lady T will call me tomorrow and curse me out. But
so no, you're saying, so you're asking if a man, like if men are depressed because the wife, girlfriend, whatever, is making more money than him.
Yeah, because you know, and
like I said, some men egos are hurt. Some men feel like, oh. Like, wow, I can't believe that she's making more money than me.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
what will my friends say?
I feel that.
What will my people,
mm-hmm.
what will my people say? Oh, my goodness. Oh,
people
the
say
guys
all,
are going to laugh at me. I'm
people.
Like, so what? She's making
not
more
even
money
the people.
What's the big deal?
They'll look at the, like their family members. Even, okay, if
yeah.
a man, sometimes it's
mm-hmm.
either their, you know, like their family members, like the mom or the dad. Oh, how you let
mm-hmm.
her go out there and make more money than you and this,
exactly.
that, and the other place. You know,
exactly.
My thing is, everything is a case-by-case basis. It depends on the situation. You know, it may be a situation where the man can't work, or if he is working, he can only work a certain amount of hours. You know,
right.
you never know what people's situation
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
So it's just the fact that she may have to work. Right, she may have to work, and she may have to work more hours. I mean, guess what? If he is working part-time. Say he works during
right.
the day, he works a little part-time. Okay, so when he gets home, say, you know, they have kids that are in school. Okay, the kids come home. Okay, so he can be home with the kids, and she can
mm-hmm.
go out to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe she got to make more money. Like I said, maybe it's a job she's making more money. She may work more hours.
Right.
But at least there's somebody there for the kids. See, you know what? It's sad because this is like the breakdown, once again, of the family, especially people of color, the family. This is what it's supposed to be about. Everybody's supposed to play their part. It's not going to always be, oh, the man is out there making
mm-hmm.
more money. Maybe back
exactly.
in the days that was more like that, because I remember my mother and father. My father worked for MTA, and he worked most of the hours. My mother would stay home with me, my sister, and my brother. So it's just like that, you know, that had to happen that way. Then when she did get a job, she got something that was part-time. And then when
right.
I got a little older and it was just me, my mother, and father, then she got a job working for HRA where she was working her 8 hours, but he was still working MTA, so he was working his hours. So when he would stay home with me, if I was in school, and then when I came home from school, then my mother would come home after. You understand what I'm saying? So it's it has to be a balance.
Together.
Right, but
yeah,
these
yeah.
days, it's not like that anymore
it's
because,
hard.
Once again, okay, let's talk about the part of the men that don't want to do nothing. They just want to have a place to stay And you can't be depressed if you just want to lay up on somebody's couch and you just, hey, well, I got a bed to sleep in. I'll watch them damn kids for you while you go. I'll watch these damn kids. You just go out to work, make the money.
I was having that problem. Why not? I'd be jealous.
So,
but
I'd be jealous.
I was finding it, but you're right about that, guys, everyone. You need that balance. But today, it's hard for that balance because, as Big Red said, I think like last year, the bills now was a lot different back then. Now you have cable bills, phone bills, this bill, going out bill, eating bill, compared to the last, back then was the phone, gas, lights, you know.
Exactly. And there's more bills now.
More bills now, so people have to work harder. So I might got to make more money. If you have two people who's fortunate to make about the same or make great money, that's very good. Well, other than that, but the way we was raised from our parents go out there. It was mostly the father. Out there, buzzing his ass, come home, give the wife the check, and he go out drinking.
But you got to remember something, too. You got to remember, it was a whole different generation than it is now, because right now, we're a lot of women are pushing a lot of responsibilities, are taking care of things and stuff, and they're also becoming more educated. And, of course, you know, with the way that the work has changed, the workplace has changed, even though some workplaces are still, the roles of women are still limited. However, you have the women out there who are making more, and a lot of men, and I could be wrong. A lot of men are scared of that. Like, oh my goodness, she's making more more than me, and it's like, what's gonna happen to us? She's gonna make more than me. She's gonna look down on me.
Hold on,
that's true.
Hold on, I have another caller. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, my friends.
No problem.
You know, so far over 103 Uber drivers accused of sexual assault or abuse. You know, the problem we have with our culture right now, I mean, because of lack of unemployment or also, you know, people are pushed to earn more money, etc. They make them Uber drivers or Lyft drivers. So as a result, you know, there's, I mean, anybody can become an Uber driver these days, even a person with a homelessness issue, for example. So what do you expect? A good people, for example, you know, tie and shirt and very good manners, good service, they're not going to become an Uber drivers. People who are mentally ill and, you know, they don't have good manners, etc., also can be. Become Uber drivers. So as a result,
you're saying that Uber drivers need to be limited? Uber drivers need to do background checks or something?
Uber drivers are mentally not fitted for the for to drive. First of all, the stress of the driving.
Really? Why do you say
and,
that?
And why do I say that? Because I see it every day that, you know, these people are get agitated. I mean, they are not trained, you know, to be nice to the passenger. You know, basically you have to kiss the ass of the passenger. This is your job. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to kiss the ass of your passenger, so then give up your Uber and Lyft, you know. Hell with it.
Okay.
But if you're a people person, if you're good, I mean, not like that. I mean, we have seen at the same time the people who are using Ubers and Lyft, who are the people are, also vice versa. They are mentally not fitted to be in to be a passenger either, because it's a responsibility. It goes on the both sides of the coin. I mean, once you know, passengers are not fitted to be a passenger anymore. It's like an airplane. If you go to an airplane, I mean, if you bend, you have a bad behavior, I mean, they kick your ass up.
It's the same thing. So why do you think there's been a lot of things going on with Uber drivers? Because you're saying that they have a mental illness going on between passengers and drivers?
Okay. As I mentioned clearly, that, you know, it's like a pilot. Okay, if a pilot comes and bets to the passengers in the plane, and etc., so he's not commanded to be a pilot anymore. And vice versa, if the passengers in the airplane get out of the line for any reason, or he says, oh, the next person and to me is you are too fat, or make a comment such as, oh, you smell, you haven't showered for 10 days, you know? So all these things, aggression, bring aggression, and basically then you are not fitted to be a passenger in the airplane or the train as well, too, same thing. So then the question is, Uber and Lyft and etc., there's no rules. But basically, it's anarchy rules. When anarchy rules, this is what happens. I mean, when Uber driver get Lyft from the discotheques, the woman has drunk a little bit, and you know, they have a special perfumes and etc., you go crazy. So you know.
Okay.
So
you sound like you're an experienced taxi driver yourself.
No,
but
I mean, I'm a journalist and I read a lot. So anyway, bottom line, I mean, I don't know how much you accept me or how much you have differences with me, but these are the some cases that, you know, is vice versa, or you know, you never know. You know, the woman may initiate something. The driver, driver wise too, and then the driver found guilty as a result. Go ahead.
Okay, Sean Black, we got 3 minutes left. Anything you'd like to add on to that, to what the gentleman said? Basically, I believe he's saying that they need a bigger and stronger background check.
Well, I think that that needs to be done for any job. Like I said before, Uber is a publicly traded business. That means they are shareholders, which means there are other people with money that are investing in the company. And nobody wants to make money when the money that you're trying to make is going to end up being dirty. And if that means you're going to have a reputation of having rapists or people that have issues with any controversy that can bring the wrong attention to money or to making money, that will change. And if you know that you're going to hit somebody in the pocketbook, that's the best deterrent, that's what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, to Cora, thank you so much. I really do appreciate your opinion. And to the next week, and be careful with the Uber drivers out there, okay?
Yes, yes, of course, of course. And at the same time, vice versa, too. And because we see that some, a lot of people also they have assaulted the Uber or Lyft drivers as well, too. So either side has to be careful, and especially with the elections and impeachment, everybody are on edge. Good night.
Oh, yes, you're right. Good night, man. Thank you. All right, we have a minute and a half left. Big Rev, I'm not done with that topic with you about the money thing, but I got to put in my two cents, but I'll leave that for next year with you. Sean Black, 30 seconds. Anything you'd like to say about this year?
Sean? Uh-oh. Ain't it, Sean?
You know what? I think I hung up on Sean.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well. Okay, Big Rev.
Yes.
Any final thought for the new year? For the new year, because this is our last show of the year.
I hope everyone has a good 2020. You know, we're going into a new decade. You know, let's make it a good one. Let's just make it a good one. Make it a good one. You know, we're going to have the ups and downs, and things are going to happen. But let's get it popping. Let's make it good.
K-Dog, 10 seconds, anything like to say for the new year or old year?
For the new year, bring good health and prosperity to all.
Try to hope people don't blow this planet up. Try to take care of what's left of it.
Exactly.
Well, that's what I'll say.
And if Brother B was here, he would say, I just want to smoke weed, drink, and have sex and be happy. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something Brother B would say. enough with this BS.
And to think, we're going next year, we're going to be starting our fifth year of doing this show. Think about that.
Fifth year, and
upcoming March will be our fifth year doing this.
Beautiful.
And K-Dog, I'm sorry, with 2020 around the corner, and there'll be elections, that means a lot more Trump talking. Sorry, K-Dog.
Uh-oh.
But,
uh-oh.
Oh, brother, Orange Boy, may he lose anyway.
Guys, thanks so much. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. See you next year.
Happy New Year, guys.
And drink up.
Yeah,
and
you seem to
support
the pleasure with all Santas.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, yeah.
Good night.